Our God is with you.
And also with you.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord.
On the first day of the week, at dawn, the women came to the tomb bringing the spices they had prepared. They found the stone rolled back from the tomb, but when they entered the tomb, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were still at a loss as to what to think of this, two men in dazzling garments appeared beside them. Terrified, the women bowed to the ground. The men said to them, "Why do you search for the living one among the dead? He is not here. He has been raised up. Remember what he said to you while he was still in Galilee, that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and on the third day rise again." With this reminder, his words came back to them. On their return from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and the others. The women were Mary of Magdala, Joanna, and Mary the mother of James. The other women with them also told the apostles, but the story seemed like nonsense, and they refused to believe them. Peter, however, got up and ran to the tomb. He stooped down, but could see nothing but the wrappings. So he went away full of amazement at what had occurred. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
George Carlin, the late comedian and cynical philosopher, who many of us probably remember, used to love to make fun of the religious folks who taught him in his youth. In his 1972 classic album called Class Clown, he says that the nuns and priests turned him into a questioner, but didn't really have any answers. They'd fall back on, "Well, it's a mystery." It seemed like a theological cop-out to him because it was repeated so many times. "Well, it's a mystery. How can this be true, Father?" "Well, it's a mystery." To be fair, life is full of mysteries. And it's the very nature of mystery to be beyond explanation. A reality imbued with the hidden presence of God. That's how theologian Richard McBrien defines mystery. A reality imbued with the hidden presence of God. The definition is mainly applied to sacraments. But wasn't the love between Edie Windsor and Thea Spire sacramental, imbued with the hidden presence of God? I know those names are probably not familiar to some of you. Edie was the plaintiff in the challenge to the so-called Defense of Marriage Act that went before the Supreme Court in 2013, just 2 years before that court affirmed marriage equality nationwide. Edie was suing to challenge a $363,000 estate tax bill she got after Thea died. Had Edie been married to a man, she would not have been taxed. But federal law regarded them as simply two unrelated people living together. Now, Edie and Thea had been deeply, and I mean deeply, in love and devoted to one another for 44 years. And they had a legal Canadian marriage. Theirs was a truly inspiring love story, one for the ages, as they say. They were part of a great and wonderful mystery. What they had, even after Thea's death, was truly imbued with the hidden presence of God. Now, Edie believed in the resurrection because she said that the spirit of Thea was watching and listening as the court was hearing arguments. Edie said to reporters, "For anybody who doesn't understand why we want marriage and why we need it, okay, it's magic. Love is mystery. Love is magic. A mystery is something that frustrates the limits of language." Edie, no doubt, had a lot to say about her love for Thea, but she just couldn't find the words. That's why there are lawyers. They always have words. I imagine she wanted to convey that Thea's presence was profoundly real to her, especially in that historic moment. That they shared a life that transcended the grave. That this bond between them was about so much more than inheritance rights and legalities. No wonder she had to fall back on the word magic. Well, it's a mystery. Words fail me. Words fail all of us when we try to talk about such matters. We might as well try to write a novel using half the alphabet. We might as well throw our hands up in the air as Edie did and say, "It's magic." Early in the morning on the first day of the week, the evangelist tells us, something puzzling and disturbing occurred. A tomb that once contained a dead body was discovered by grieving women to be empty. Luke says that two men, angels, asked the women why they were looking for the living one among the dead. We are told that the responses to this discovery ranged from dismissing it as nonsense and refusing to believe, to being terrified, and finally full of amazement. Clearly, this threw Jesus' followers into great confusion. That's what often happens when mystery first breaks through to us. It's like the first stages of the journey of loving someone. Refusal to believe, terror, amazement. The resurrection as a mystery has all the signs of falling in love because it is an act of God who is love. At first, it is questioned. No, this is nonsense, too good to be true. Don't you dare believe it. Be careful. Then there is fear. What does this mean? This changes everything. I'm not the same person anymore. I'm scared. What if I get my heart broken again? What if? And then there is amazement. The wow response. I begin to get excited about the possibilities. I let go of all the questions and just enjoy the ride. If you've ever been in love, you probably recognize those signs. Regardless of the mystery, falling in love or resurrection or any other mystery, the signs are the same. But amazement is the point at which you're hooked. Edie said that she and Thea got to the amazement part very quickly back in the mid-60s. When they first discovered each other. A kind of love at first sight situation. Now that's pretty remarkable considering it was a time when gay folks were still almost universally considered sick, sinful, and criminal. But the act of love that was the resurrection wasn't and often still isn't embraced quite so easily. Not just because it asks us to believe something seemingly fantastic, rising from the dead, but because it's a mystery that, like human love, comes with a mission. Accepting it requires you to do something. It demands a commitment. You can't just sit there and enjoy it. Just as love is to beget more love, resurrection is to beget more resurrections. To embrace this mystery is to accept the responsibility to make new life rise up everywhere. To get into what John Lewis called good trouble. To preach, teach, and heal as Jesus did, because he is alive. His spirit is here among us. The man who once occupied that tomb occupies it no longer. It's no place for him, and it's no place for his followers. He shares that same awesome power of his resurrection with us, and it's time for the victory of love. There are more resurrections to accomplish. An environment to clean up. Peacemaking to do. Poverty to eradicate. Discrimination to abolish. Immigrants to welcome. A healthcare system to reform. Selfish billionaires to call to repentance. Not to mention my own need for that. That calls for a lot of love. And a lot of responsibility, and a lot of faith. A lot of believing that death does not get to win. Faith that the resurrected Christ is right here with us. Sister Joan Chittister understood what this mystery demands of us. To say, "I believe in Jesus Christ who rose from the dead," she wrote, "is to say, I believe that the resurrection goes on and on and on forever. Every time Jesus rises in our hearts in new ways, the resurrection happens again. Every time we see Jesus where we did not recognize him before, in the faces of the poor, in the love of the unloved, in the revelatory moments of life, Jesus rises anew. The real proof of the resurrection lies not in the transformation of Jesus alone, but in the transformation awaiting us who accept it." She's a smart lady. My friends, what a mystery we are called to commit ourselves to. Peter went away from the tomb full of amazement at what had occurred. At that point, he couldn't have begun to fathom what it all meant, what it would require of him. We have the benefit of a couple thousand years of theologizing, a lot of words, 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 words. But it's still a great mystery. We should be full of amazement, too. After 44 years of commitment, Edie and Thea never exhausted the mystery of their love for one another. They were always discovering new things to delight in, new things that amazed them. After nearly 38 years, Bob and I are still getting to know one another, making each other laugh, going deeper into the mystery of our marriage, and holding each other as we grow older. After 2,000 years, Christians are still finding new meaning in this old mystery called resurrection, and the God we call love who made it happen. Perhaps this Easter Sunday should be a time of sweet joy and quiet, wordless wonder. After all, words can't do justice to a reality imbued with the hidden presence of God. Well, it's a mystery. It's magic. Perhaps for now we should just stop with Peter at the amazement stage and simply enjoy. Your thoughts?